Let's go, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Those folks I mentioned to you, those three that have COVID, you might not have caught it. Some of you know them as James Fanning. That's Joyce Kohoffer's brother, all right? So you pray for those folks. They live out towards, where do they live out towards? Somewhere. Cottondale, that's it. That was the word I was looking for, Cottondale. They live out that way. So do remember to pray for them. We're just glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you came. I hope you came ready to listen to the Word of God. going to confess to you, this is a rerun this morning. Somebody said, you're preaching something you preached before? Yep. Yeah, because I thought it was pretty good the first time. And I'm preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. I don't think I could come up with a better sermon for these verses than that one. And I'll tell you, but most of you won't remember it, okay? Matter of fact, I think very few of you will. You might remember, oh yeah, I remember something like that, but you're not going to remember the message, so you're going to hear it again. You're not like my mom. My mom used to, when she'd take her Bible, and every time somebody preached, she'd mark the scripture, she'd put their name, whoever it was preached, and the date. And so if you preach twice, she'd always know it, and she could tell it. But if you'd go through her Bible, her old Bibles, you'd find that she wrote down who preached, when they preached, and the verse they used, and she did that for years and years and years. So, but most of y'all don't do that, so that's all right. But I don't mind admitting it, because I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say to a singer, man, I wish you'd sing that song again. But how many times you have somebody say, preach that sermon again, Brother Oftedal? How many times? Yeah, that don't happen, you know. I think there's a lot of reasons, because sometimes if that sermon really brought conviction, don't do that again. Don't preach something else, you know. But anyhow, maybe that's it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Notice verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Right here in the midst of where the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy about prayer, he said there in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, and he talked about prayers, all right? And be made for all men. In verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Right in the middle of that, he said, there's one mediator. There's one mediator. He said, when you're going to pray, you need to remember there's one mediator. Now, you say, I don't know what a mediator is. Well, hang on, you will, okay? It's common practice in our day to use a mediator when there is a disagreement between two parties or between two sides, okay? And they'll go get a mediator to settle the difference, all right? And it's especially common in labor disputes, but it can also, nowadays, I've seen it written into all kinds of different contracts that you say instead of turning around and suing, that you'll use and agree to use a mediator. And it is a way to settle things without going through a lawsuit, okay? But they bring a mediator in to reconcile the two parties, all right? To get them back into agreement. Now, God and man used to walk together. The Bible said God tells us in Genesis that he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he would come in the cool of the day and walk with them in the garden and talk with them, spend time with him, but sin ended that. And sin separated between us and God. He said, why is there a separation between God and man? Because of sin. God's over here. Man's over here. Really ought to say it. God's here. And man's down here. All right? And there, the Bible said there's a great gulf fixed. The big difference between the two. All right? They're no longer able to walk together. The Bible said there is one man between the two. Now notice, now you can get upset about it if you want to, but it's not a woman. There is no such thing as a mediatrix. Mediatrix does not exist. That is as unscriptural, as unbiblical as you can be. The Bible said there's one man between God and man, all right? One man between the two. Now I want you to look at me with me this morning at five truths involving a mediator and the process of mediation. And if you'll just listen on purpose, I'll be through in an hour and a half and we can go home, all right? So if you just pay attention with me there, all right? Number one, I want you to see this. If there's going to be success with a mediator, both sides have to choose him. Both sides have to choose him. If one party objects, then he can't reconcile the two. If you're on the outs with somebody, you're on the outs. If my brother and I got mad at each other, you know, because he let me fall off that bunk bed on my head when I was a kid, and I'm holding a grudge to this day about that. And he says, well, that's okay, I'm holding a grudge because you hit me on the head with that rock years ago. And both of us are guilty. We both did what we just said, okay? So if we need that mediator to get us back together, it has to be somebody that we both agree on, all right? It has to be somebody we both agree on. He might say, well, we'll use Brother Harry right here. He'll do it. He's your friend. I ain't going for that. He'll take your side. And I might suggest somebody, and he'd say, no, not going to do that. Hey, if we're going to be reconciled, both parties have to choose the mediator, all right? Let me give you an example from the world. The Jews and the Arabs in this day are fighting. A lot of times we don't hear about it, but that doesn't mean the fighting's over. I mean, they may be lobbing rockets in from some of the Arab lands into the Israel, and we won't hear a word about it on the news. News doesn't consider that worthy. It's only worthy if the Jews retaliate. But it goes on all the time, all right? Now, they have a hard time. But in our lifetime, we've had several presidents think we're going to settle this thing. And we'll mediate between the two of them. President Clinton tried to do that. President Bush tried to do that. And we're going to have these accords, and everybody's going to get together, and we'll mediate this thing, we'll settle this difference, and we can have peace. But they're not having it, all right? Why? Well, they can't agree on the mediator for one thing, all right? They will not be reconciled. Hey, they'll not be reconciled until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But when he comes back, he's not coming as a mediator. He'll come as a dictator, all right? And he'll lay down the law, and you know what? Everybody will say, okay, okay. But he's not coming as a mediator. Now, they can't have peace. Why? No mediator. Well, now, there's need between a mediator between God and man. God chose Jesus Christ. God chose Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to let him be the mediator to reconcile God and man. So God made his choice. Who did you choose? Who did you choose? God chose Jesus Christ. Now, who did you choose? I mean, a lot of people take a lot of things, all right? Some people, well, I'll take Mother Teresa. Only problem is God chose Jesus Christ. God chose Jesus Christ. If there's going to be a mediator, the Bible said there's one mediator. One mediator between God and man, all right? And it's the man, Christ Jesus. So first of all, both sides have to choose him. The second thing I want you to see is this. To mediate, both sides must desire reconciliation. Both sides have to want it. Now there is absolutely no doubt God wants man back. There's no doubt God wants man back. Were you paying attention while we sang that last song before the message? The old rugged cross. Hey, it was there that Jesus suffered and died. Why? Because God wants that relationship back. He wants to be reconciled. No doubt about it. The invitation is very clear. The Bible says this plainly, come unto me. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Hey, it's obvious, Jesus, God wants reconciliation. He sent his son so we could be reconciled to God. He sent his son to cover up that breach and to draw us back together. Why? He wants to be reconciled. The question is, do you want to be reconciled to God? Do you want to be reconciled to him? If not, well, just forget it. There's not a thing in the world. I've got no message for you. There's nothing I can do for you. Go ahead, waste your life, get it over with quickly, and be done with it. Nothing I can do, nothing anybody else can do for you either. Unless you want to be reconciled to God. Just before service, just before church this morning, I was sitting in one of the offices back there and reading just a little part out of a book. It's got stories from the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And the title of the book is Unshackled. And it gives a testimony of people that got saved through the work of the Pacific Garden Mission. And boy, the people that have been saved through that. And one of the guys that was there, just one little short story I read this morning before Sunday school even, a story of this fellow that said, man, he told somebody at one time, he pulled out a roll of bills and he said, this is my God. But there was just something that kept pulling him back to that mission, to hear the preaching, Because deep down inside, the truth of the matter is there was something missing. And he knew it. Hey, the problem is a lot of people, they don't want to be reconciled. Give you an example from history. Back yonder in the late 30s, Lord Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England. And Hitler was moving, and Germany, they were taking over land, lands, and they would take over one, and Hitler would say, well, those people really are German people, and so those people should be in Germany. And so they got together in a meeting and went together, and Neville Chamberlain met with Hitler, and they came to an agreement. You see, Neville Chamberlain wanted reconciliation. He wanted it so bad that he came back from that meeting and announced to England, his country, and to the world, we're going to have peace in our time. The only problem with that is Hitler didn't want reconciliation. He didn't want it. And after Neville Chamberlain said, we're going to have peace in our time, millions died. Millions died. Germany didn't want reconciliation. Germany wanted to rule the world, all right? Hey, the question is, do you want reconciliation? You want to be reconciled to God? He's there. You said, preacher, I've been saved. Wait a minute, how's your life going? How you living your life? You know, sometimes people get saved and they get so far away from God, you could never tell they were saved. You need to be reconciled to God, all right? But if that mediator's going to do any good, both sides have to desire reconciliation. Both sides have to choose him. But here's the third thing. Here's the difficult thing. The mediator must understand both sides. The mediator must understand both sides. Now, I'll be honest, it's not that difficult to find somebody that understands our part. The truth of the matter is people are basically the same. Everywhere you go, most people basically the same. We have the same needs. We have the same thing that we need, all right? We have somewhat the same desires. Now, some people may carry them to a little bit more extreme than others do, but we have basically the same desires. Most people in this whole world today would tell you, you know what? I just want to be, I would like to have a place to live. I'd like to have something to sustain me, food and that kind of thing. I want a certain amount of happiness. I want a little bit of comfort, and I just want to be able to do my thing and get along and just be left alone, and able to do that. And if I can have those things, I'm pretty much happy. People are alike. We like the same things. We have the same desires. We have the same wants. So it's not hard to find somebody that understands our side. But wait a minute. There's also God's side. There's also God's side. Remember, we said there's one mediator between God and man. There's our side. It's not hard to find somebody to understand our side. But the truth of the matter is no regular man understands his side. Just don't. You can't say, well, I see it from his point of view. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand God. I said, do you understand God? No, sir. I do not understand him. You say, what do you mean? Well, hey, here's a good, godly worker that dies. I could talk to you about a preacher friend of mine that lived in the area. His wife, man, she was a helpmeet to him. And served the Lord with him, played the piano, talented musician, served the Lord. She got cancer. She died. He had a brother that's a preacher. His wife was caught in a prostitution ring. She's still alive. I don't understand that. Why didn't God take the one that's running the prostitution ring, leave the one serving? I don't understand. I don't understand. Hey, I don't understand why 20 people can die in a fiery bus wreck and the drunk that causes it lives. I don't understand that. Say, why did God do it that way? I don't know. I don't know. Now, I want to say to you, there's nobody here that understands him. You don't understand God, but you don't have to understand God to be saved. And by the way, if you understood him, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God. He would not be God. But there's one mediator between God and man. There is one who understands him. There is one who understands him. Now, it may irritate fire out of some folks, but it's not Mary. It is not Mary. A woman doesn't understand how a man thinks. There's not a woman here that understands how your husband thinks. Not a bit. You don't. You know, vice versa is true. There's not a man here that understands how his wife thinks. Not a one. We don't. We're not going to. God didn't make us that way. And so God says, hey, if there's going to be somebody that understands God and man, it's not going to be a woman, okay? That is the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands us, but he understands God. He understands our point of view. He's been through what we've gone through. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be thirsty. He knows what it is to labor. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to be tested. He knows what it is to be hated. He knows what it is to go through the trials of this life and endure it. He knows them. But I'll tell you something, he also knows God's point of view. He understands that point of view totally. He knows. He knows. You don't. I don't. There's no other person that does. But Jesus Christ understands. That's why Jesus Christ is perfectly suited to be that one mediator between God and man. He understands. All right? So that mediator has to understand both sides. But there's another thing. The mediator, if you're going to use a mediator, you have to leave it in the hands of the mediator. Leave it with him. If you won't accept what he does, then he can't help. If he wants to say, I was giving you that illustration, my brother and I, if we needed mediation, we need somebody to get us back together, all right? We need somebody to understand both sides. You need somebody to understand the smart side and his side, okay? You need somebody to understand both sides. And it has to be somebody we both are willing to listen to. We agree on, we'll choose him, all right? But then, hey, we have to agree, we'll leave it with that mediator. So what does that mean? That means this, whatever the mediator decides, we agree, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. If the mediator says kiss and make up, there's going to be real trouble. We have to accept what the mediator decides. We've got to go with that mediator, right? It just has to be. We can't say, well, after we agree for the mediation, we can't decide, I don't want to do that. No, we made an agreement. We got to do what the mediator decides. We've got to agree on that. Listen, if God can trust His Son with your salvation, how come you can't? How come you can't? How come you can't trust His Son with your salvation? He said, preacher, I do trust His Son. Wait a minute. There's a lot of people that I'm not sure they do, because I ask them how they know they're saved, and they tell me because they're good and how the good things they've done and all that. If that's what you're trusting in, you're not trusting His Son. You're not trusting His Son. Some of you are trusting what happened back here in the tank. I'm trusting the fact that at some point in time I was baptized. I didn't ask you that. I've talked to people before and said, look, if you were to die, do you know you go to heaven? I said, yeah, I was baptized. I didn't ask you that. Didn't ask that. A lot of people today, that's what they're trusting. Other people say, well, I went through this ritual and I do that or I do this. Hey, that's not it. God trusted His Son. Why can't you trust Him? Why can't you trust Him? And lastly, you can't mediate by yourself or for yourself. You can't do that. I can't. My brother and I, if we've got a disagreement, we need to be reconciled, he's not going to let me say, okay, I'll figure this out and I'll tell you how it's going to be. He's going to say, in a pig's eye, you will, all right? You're not doing that. Who do you think you are? I can't mediate for myself. Hey, by the way, not only can I not mediate between me and my brother, I sure can't mediate between me and God. I can't be the one that says, well, I'll decide this issue. I can figure it out and it'll always be okay because I'll make the decision. No, I can't do that, all right? You can't save yourself. Why? Because of your unChrist-like thinking. You can't even think right. We sure don't act right. We don't do that. Our emotions, boy, none of those things are like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way we can come on our own and say, I can take care of this. I can handle it by myself. I'll do it. You can't. Yeah, but there's multitudes of people today that say that's what they're doing. I'll get there on my own. No, you won't. One reason you can't mediate for yourself is God will not lower Himself to your standards. He will not do it. Will not do it. He's not going to lower Himself from His standard, His place, to our standards way down here. I don't know if you know what a plumb line is. But a plumb line is, it's used that there's a weight put on a line, and that weight, it's used to make things straight, to make things vertical, okay? Now, you don't see somebody using a plumb line, putting that weight here and say, all right, guys, watch real quick now, and throw it up in the air and hold the string. It doesn't come from here up there. That plumb line is suspended up here. Up here. I've seen block layers and brick layers use them to get that wall. They wanted to go up straight. My brother and some of his buddies, they were in this club thing at school when he was a senior in high school, and they got together and decided, we're going to do something for our high school. We're going to build a new concession stand. And they laid blocks. They laid a block concession stand. You should have seen it. That's the worst looking thing you ever seen in your life. I mean, he'd tell you the same thing, all right? It was the worst looking thing. I saw it after they got through with it. I'm thinking, this is pitiful, all right? I mean, those blocks didn't line up right. It looked terrible. But as far as I know, that concession stand is still there. Like that? No, you can't tell it. Can't tell it. Because we had a man in our church. Thank God for an expert, all right? We had a man in our church, was a mason, and he knew how to stucco stuff. And those guys brought him down here, and he looked at it, and he thought, it needs some work. Needs a little bit of work here. And he put that stucco on that thing. He covered up all their mistakes. He covered it up. Hey, I don't think they used a plumb line, okay? If they did, they threw it up, all right? Hey, God's not going to lower himself to your standards. He's not going to lower himself to my standards. And us coming to God and say, okay, Lord, I figured this thing out, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and I'll get to go to heaven. Sorry, that's not the way it's going to work. Hey, you know what? You'll never be reconciled to God. Christian, you've got away from God. You've turned your back. You're like the prodigal son. You've gone. You've wasted your substance in riotous living. You wasted your life. You've not served God with your life. And you're not going to come back to him and say, well, Lord, I'll do it. I'll fix it my way. No, you're not. You're going to have to meet his standard. You'll have to meet his standard. And listen, you and God aren't the same. The gap is way too wide for us to bridge it by ourselves. Can't do it. Cannot do it. You need someone between you and God. And God knew it. So he sent his son, made in the likeness of sinful man. And he sent him for us. He came for us. And God says there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Oh, my friend, you hear me. You need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. He's the only one able to mediate between you and God. He's the only one able to understand both sides. Hey, folks, never occur to you, hear people say and as they're praying, and when they get to the end of their prayer, they say, in Jesus' name. Why? Because we want it to come through him. Come through him. We're praying here, Lord, not in my name. Whatever you do, don't say in Preacher Mosley's name. Don't do that. Won't do you a lick and spit bit of good, all right? We come to him, all right? We come to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he's here, said, if any man come, then he's going to come through me. That's why he said, I'm the door. I'm the door. You're going to come through him. He's the only one able to save your soul. The only one. That's why the Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through him. It's through him. You come, he's going to come through him. If you're going to get back to God, it's coming through him. The question is, will you choose him today? Will you choose him? Will you choose him right now? I mean, right this instant, just say, Lord, right now I'll choose you. He willing, man, I've seen so many people, they seem to be ashamed to identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not me. Not me. I'll never be ashamed. Somebody said, are you a Christian? I'd never be ashamed to say, well, yeah, just don't tell anybody. Not me. I'm not ashamed of that name. I'm not ashamed of it at all. Thank God there was that man, Christ Jesus, the mediator between God and man. He's the one I came to, the 9-year-old boy. I came through Jesus Christ. I was trusting in the blood that he shed on Calvary for me. Come through him, not through me. There's no other way to get to God than through Jesus Christ. And I live in fear today that there's a tons of people that have made a decision, but they never decided to really trust Christ. They never decided to trust Christ. They decided to go through the motions. They decided to join the church. They decided to be baptized. But did you trust the Savior? Now, you ought to be baptized after you trust the Savior. You ought to be in a church after you trust the Savior. You ought to be faithful in that church. But the mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. question is, what will you do with Christ? Will you trust him today? Will you come to him? Will you come to him? Will you be willing to come? Will you be willing to say, you know what? I've never really trusted Christ as my Savior. I did some religious things, but I've never been born again. You need to trust Christ. You need to come to him. Will you do it? Will you do it? Hey, Christian, you're like the prodigal. You've wandered away from God. Will you come back to him today? Will you come back to him? Would you stand, please, this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, God's calling you. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Would you trust him today? Would you come to him? I'll quit putting on the act and quit trusting and saying, I'll be okay, or I'll wait. No, you better trust him today. Would you do it? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to realize and see the truth. There is one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Lord, help each one today to examine their own heart and life and to recognize the truth. Either they've trusted Christ or they haven't. It's not some formality. It's not some magic words. But Lord, it's their heart. Have they trusted Christ? Lord, if they've not, would you help them to come today? Lord, folks that have been saved need to make a public profession. Would you help them to come today and identify themselves with Christ? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.